The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now that's over on the coast. This is not in Judea. This is not Jewish territory. He's left Jewish territory and gone into Gentile territory, Canaanite territory. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region. In other words, a Canaanite, she's not a Jew. And cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Now I want to stop there before we go any further and just look at some points through this passage so far. Obviously, the loudest thing about who this woman is that she's a mother. And typically, mothers care. They want to help. They want to help. They have a caring heart. Kind of like a story I read. A fellow said, "My mother had just finished taking CPR class at a local college. When she and I were in the mall and saw a big crowd gathered around a still body, Mom took off running at a speed I didn't know she could muster, yelling, 'Everyone back! I know CPR!' Just as she threw herself down next to the body and was about to begin, a pair of strong hands pulled her to her feet. 'Ma'am,' said a police officer beside her, 'we're trying to arrest this man.'" her ambition to help was maybe a little short-sighted. But we get the point. In a mother's heart to help. It's in this mother's heart to help. This woman, who is a Canaanite, she's not a Jew. She doesn't let that stop her. Obviously, she has heard the gospel. She has heard about Christ. She has heard who he is. She has heard of the things he has done. Who knows, maybe she's even been a witness of some of them and seen them. We're not told all the details, but somehow this woman, this Canaanite woman, has come to faith in Christ. A Jewish Messiah. But she has perceived and understood even more so than even his 12 disciples were getting at this point, that he was not just a Jewish Messiah. He was the Messiah who had come as Savior of the world. She had come to faith. And through that faith, she took action, because her daughter was severely demon-possessed. Now, I want to say something. I've said things about this before here. We need to be aware and recognize that we live in a dual existence, you might say. There is this physical world that we live in, and we have physical bodies, but it is surrounded by, immersed in, a spiritual world that is just as real as the pew you're sitting on. There are angels, there are demons. Demons do oppress people. Many, many bondages that people have, many addictions, that people do not seem to be able to break, oftentimes are demonically empowered. The result of demonic oppression and activity. That's why Jesus addressed that so much through the scripture. And we do ourselves a disservice and those we care about if we refuse to acknowledge that. This girl was not just having a mental issue. She was severely demon possessed, demon oppressed, under demonic influence. And no one had been able to help her. But this mom, this woman who has come to faith in Christ, makes a decision. And that's always a first step and a major step of any act of faith, is to make a decision. You know, decisions are not easy things to make. And a lot of people and a lot of us, and I'm sure every one of us at times, have struggled and experienced the consequences of procrastination. The unwillingness to make a decision and to act. But if we're going to see faith come to fruition, if we're going to see the power of God connect with our faith and be expressed in this world, we have to make a decision. That's exactly what happens when someone is saved, when someone comes to Christ. They don't come to Christ by osmosis. They make a decision to repent, to believe that He has promised to forgive them and accept them and receive them as His child. So you decide, I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to act on what I believe, that He is the Son of God, that He has died for my sins, was buried and rose again, and that He will forgive me and accept me as His own if I ask Him. It takes a decision. This woman made a decision. She came from the region. She heard Jesus was in the area. She didn't just hope maybe something would happen. She got up and went to Jesus. She made a decision. She was not a Jew. She understands that He is. And she acknowledges Him as a Jew and as the Jewish Messiah when she says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." She is recognizing His Jewishness, that He is the promised one, the Son of God. She says, "Have mercy," and she is very specific about what she wants and what she needs. That's another struggle we have sometimes that hinders our faith. We live in such generalities with God. We don't get specific, because we know if we get specific, we're putting God on the spot. But that's what faith does. That's what she does. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She's not just saying, "Oh, I just need a blessing. Would you please do something?" She says, "Have mercy on my daughter is severely demon possessed." And He answered her not a word. So what do you do with your faith when you get that response? He answers not a word. Do you keep believing? Do you continue? That's the next characteristic of her faith, is her determination. It says in verse 22, she cried out. Now that doesn't mean she just came real politely and gently and you know, with good manners, said, "Please, Lord, Son of David, if you could help me, my daughter." She's crying out. It's intense. It matters to her. She's not worried about being embarrassed or embarrassing someone else. Her determination has become irritating even to the disciples, because in 23, after He didn't answer her, His disciples came and urged Him. "Jesus, send her away. She cries out after us. This is getting embarrassing." Well, sometimes faith is. Determined faith. A determined decision. One that will not let God go. It can be embarrassing. It can and will cost something. But does it really matter? If it does really matter, then it's worth the effort. It's worth the faith. The disciples send her away. This is getting embarrassing. She's crying out after us. She's drawing attention. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now that is where his ministry, that's where his sending began. Now obviously we know from the rest of the scripture that he was sent as Savior of the world, but it began with Israel. He came first unto his own, John tells us, but his own received him not, but to as many as received them, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name, John 1:12. But he makes this statement. He has plans, he has a purpose through what he's doing and what he's saying, and even what he's not saying. She made a decision. She was determined. She wouldn't give up on her faith, even when he answered her not a word, even when he said he was just sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and did the next thing. A central thing to faith. She worshiped. Will you worship even when he hasn't answered? Will you worship when he seems to be distant or silent? She did. Verse 25, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. In her worship, in her bowing, in her acknowledging him as God incarnate, she does so by saying, Lord, acknowledging who he is, help me. You see, a very real part of our worship is our acknowledging that we need help, that we cannot help ourselves, that we don't have all the answers, that we can't save ourselves, that we can't fix it, that we need him, and that we believe that he cares. And that's what she's done. She's worshiped him. She's fallen at his feet and is worshiping him as Lord of lords and King of kings. And in that faith, in that assurance of who he is, she's asking him, help me. And then he gives her this peculiar answer. But he answers and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now those are, in their day, in their circumstances, those would actually be racial, you might say, national, whatever term you want to use, statements. Because he's referring to the children as Israel and to Gentiles as the little dogs. Because unfortunately, that's what they called one another. That's what they referred to one another. And he's picked up on the words of the day. But Jesus is not being mean or cruel or harsh. But he has a purpose. And that's something we have to accept. That's something that we have to decide in our faith. That even if our faith is tried, even if we don't understand, even if something is beyond our comprehension and doesn't make sense to us, we're going to believe. We're going to stand in faith and believe that he is who he says he is, and that he's good, and that he cares, even if it doesn't make sense. And then she says back to him immediately. You see, this woman's faith is so determined. Once she made that decision, she was not going back. Her faith was going to be victorious. Yes, Lord. See, she is expressing the power that drives faith. And that power is love. Galatians 5:6 says neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, all that religious stuff avails nothing. But what matters is faith, which works through love. She doesn't care what you call her. As long as you give her what she's believing for, you can call her whatever you want, because what's driving her faith is love for her daughter, who is severely suffering from demonic oppression. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs, us Gentiles, eat the crumbs which fall from their master's tables. She was even willing to acknowledge the Jewish people as the masters, because her faith wouldn't take rejection. Her faith wouldn't accept failure. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now get a little hint here. I saw this as I was studying it. Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher from years gone by, pointed this out. Look at the magnitude of her faith. Now she's dealt with the suffering her daughter has experienced through this demonic possession, this demonic oppression. She has suffered, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's a combination of both, psychological and or hatefulness, or whatever it is, it's bad, and no one can fix it. No one has been able to set her daughter free. No one's been able to help her. And this woman hasn't been able to fix it. But she's come to faith in Christ, and she has come to Christ and recognizing the power of this demon or these demons that are causing her daughter to suffer, is this tremendous power that no one has been able to do anything about, to Jesus is a crumb from the table. Do you get that? She understands that Jesus has the power, has such authority, has such a table spread, that to cast out this demon that nobody else can do anything about, that is causing her daughter such pain and sorrow, Jesus, like a crumb from the table, can deal with it. That's her faith. Then Jesus answered and said to her. You see, this is who Jesus is. Yes, he will try your faith. Yes, he is intent on the purity and the shining of your faith. And without it being tested, without it being tried, it's not purified and it doesn't shine. I mean, if you have a gold ring and you haven't taken care of it and it's gotten grungy and all of that, what do you want to do? You want to clean it so it shines and its beauty is evident. Go and read 1st and 2nd Peter and James. There's clear teaching in Scripture that God allows that refining of our faith so that our faith shines and He's glorified. And we are blessed. Jesus says to her, "Woman, great is your faith." Great is your faith. There's not another person in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that Jesus looks in the face, eyeball to eyeball, and says, "Great is your faith." And she's not even a Jew. Now there's one other person who Jesus declares has great faith. He wasn't a Jew either. He was a Roman centurion. But Jesus didn't say it to him because he didn't even come to Jesus. He sent someone else. But Jesus declared to the crowd that he had great faith. But this woman's faith that would not take no for an answer, that was determined that the Jesus she believed was the Jesus that God sent, and that he was good and would not be denied, was rewarded and blessed and complimented beyond every other person who's ever existed in the time that Jesus walked on the face of the earth. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. Amen? Let it be done to you as you desire. Don't tell me that God's not pleased and honored and blessed by faith. Faith that won't be denied. Faith that's determined, that decides and acts and goes and stands, sets self aside, is not worried about pride or image. The rest of that sentence says, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus didn't even address the demon. He just turned loose the power of that woman's faith. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. And that was all it took. That faith, the power of God was released through that faith, and that demon ran screaming out of that girl and never came back. That's the God we serve. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You see, the thing that shines so much about this woman was the character of Christ that was birthed in her when she believed in Him. And that character is humility. It's meekness. It's power under the control of love. The faith of the Canaanite woman in Jesus' own person and power, driven by her love for her daughter, revealed the depth of her humility and procured the miracle of her daughter's deliverance and glorified God, her Savior. That's why this story is included in the gospel, because it brought glory to Jesus and it showed us who God is and that we can trust Him, even when it doesn't make sense. And that if we'll walk in love as He is in love, and humbly act in faith, make a decision, be determined, settle it in our heart, worship Him, humble ourselves, He will be glorified, and our faith will be great.